got a whole wad and said, hand them out, do something with them. We don't need 5,000 of those glasses. So let's go to 2 Timothy and look at some real insights here. And you might, if you take a lot of notes or anything, you say, this sounds, some of the things he's saying here sounds familiar. And it will, because brought, not that long ago, a message out of 1 Timothy 6 that has some of these similar things in it. Write that down as a, you need to put 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16 with what we're going to read today. That there's, it's a different approach, different aspect here. And we just took a piece of a very good passage, read it all. But in this passage, I just took one little part of it, because it talks about the vessels of the Lord and those things that are some for honor and dishonor and so forth. And I thought, no. But what we need today is where we just focus in and just read this one verse. Flee. Paul's writing to Timothy. And he said, there's a lot of things, you know, that, and he said, even in the church, there's vessels for honor and dishonor. You need to keep that in mind. I'm just throwing it out for you. Remember this. What he's saying is, there's no perfect church. And there's going to be people of dishonor in a church. And so don't be blown away and quit going to church or get mad at God, because Jesus told another parable about the wheat and the tares. Do you remember that? And the guy sowed his field, but at night the enemy went in and sowed all these the tares, the seeds of the weeds. And but they looked exactly like the wheat. And he said, no, we can't even pull them apart. Can't pluck them up now because we will pull up the wheat. But he said that the day of the harvest will separate the wheat from the chaff. And those weeds and their seeds will be thrown away. And you say, so he was trying to say, God is going to make a separation. He will remove those of dishonor and the weeds, the chaff. But for the time being, we have to learn to live with it. Not with it, not them. You don't have to learn. You don't have to commit the sins committed by people or be involved in all their junk to live with them, you know, live around them. You just don't participate in what they do. And so what I'm saying is, there's going to be people who'll be ugly, discourteous, rude, nasty and snarly, and we always want to believe that they're out there. They're everywhere. Okay? They're everywhere. And where else, think about it, where else to cause dissension except to come into churches? And if any of you are thinking, are you aiming this at somebody here? No. And I'm sure glad I don't have to do that today. No, that's not. But I am aiming it at some of y'all listening out here. Okay, so, because I have pastors and I have members of other churches sit down and say, can I talk with you? Do you have this and this going on in your church? And it's like, no, thank God. Well, we do there. We do at our church. And it's like, oh, that sounds way too familiar, and we don't need that. No. And I said, you know, actually, everybody gets along. They actually care about each other there. How about it? I pastor a church where people actually care about each other. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, thank you. But there's a lot of places, and you've been there, right? We've all been in places, and they're, oh, my goodness. And so this, what he said was, you know, if you read all of this, and I just want to use that as a little intro, so I didn't have time to just go. Just know that there's going to be honorary people everywhere you go, and there's going to be rude people, and there's going to be people that come and they'll sing the songs and just sit there, might even take notes, and then be talking nasty to you before you even get out to the parking lot. So you don't have to worry about that here. Nobody's ever reported that, and thank you, God, thank you. But people experience it in a lot of places, and it's going on right now, and I'm sorry for that, but you know, just know that he says, here's what you do about it. That's the whole point here. He leads in, and what we have for today is this. Flee also youthful lust. And Paul's writing to Timothy, young pastor. He said, don't get caught up in all these youthful lusts, you know what? But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And he's saying, don't lose your focus. Don't get turned around. So I just titled this, just a real simple title, Go After Righteousness, Faith, Love, and Peace. Not real original, just straight down the line. And so our first point is just go after righteousness. He's saying you stay on target, stay focused. Don't let the rudeness and the meanness that's out here, don't let the politics, and that's hard not to do, don't let the news, don't let all the junk you see and all the court issues and not... Don't let it. He's saying, when you're going to listen to some of it, you're going to talk about it, and you're going to eat, do whatever. But he said, get yourself back and go after the word, you know, he says pursue. He says, go after righteousness. Is God calling? Okay. Go after righteousness. Stay on target. Said, don't forget, we're here to be righteous. And we are the righteousness of God. That's what Scripture says. And he says, don't lose track of it. Stay focused. And this message today is one of those, let's get it together. Let's go after the right thing message, because there's too much distracting God's people. Out and about. And I'm out and about a lot. And with Christian people. I don't hear near as much anymore about Jesus Christ, not even a tenth as much as I do about this political figure, that political figure, what the Supreme Court's doing and going to do. And it's all about that. And it's like, folks, we're supposed to encourage one another daily as we have opportunity. Let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about His Word. And look in your own heart. How much of your time are you spending talking about all these things when you're supposed to be talking about the one thing? And that doesn't mean that every conversation we have is going to be, just totally focused on Christ. But Jesus needs to be in the picture. And it all needs to circle around. Sure, you can discuss politics, but bring it back. So what does the Lord say about all this? What is in His hands? What can He do about it? And keep your focus on Christ. Stay where, and in righteousness. Friends, listen. Jesus gives you His righteousness when you ask Jesus in your heart. Everybody good with that? We're made holy. We're made righteous. But then He says, if you want to stay that way, you have to pursue it. You got to go after it. I make you righteous. I give you holiness. Now I want you to pursue it so you can live a life like that. And here's one of the sad things, and one of the little... Johnny sent me a little deal here a few days ago. I was just reading that little devotional, and he was talking about how when we first ask Jesus in our heart, it's so pure, so simple. We're on fire. Remember those days? And man, nothing existed but Christ. It was just, it was there. Your sins are forgiven. And then, though, as time goes by, we begin to slip a little bit in our righteousness. And we begin to listen to and tolerate just little sins. And little sin. You remember? And when you first ask Jesus in your heart, it's just, wow. But then it may go on a few months, it may go on a year, maybe a few years. And then one day you're tolerating things, allowing yourself to listen to things, watch things, be involved in things that you wouldn't have done initially. And our life begins to tolerate, because the devil is so subtle, and he comes as an angel of light seeking to deceive even the very elect.